Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Writer's Lounge, show number 38, December 17th, 2012. I am your host, Tom Riddell, and in the wings waiting to join me is my co-host, Robin Eduardo. And also tonight we will be introducing the new lady, called not the new lady, of course, but she is a reviewer on our show and on our blog. Her name is Lori Hedgepath, and she will be in here shortly. We will be introducing her also to the Writer's Lounge. A brief intro to today's show. We will have a Mary L. Ball. She wrote the book. It's a romance, Christian romance book called Escape the Big Fork Lake. And we're interested to talk to her about her writing and her book. And she'll be on about quarter after the hour. The Writer's Lounge blog can be found over at tomriddell.com/blog. Over there you can read all the reviews of all the authors we've had on. And in the upper left-hand corner of the page, you will find a Blog Talk Radio player, and you can listen to the shows of all of the authors that we have on the Writer's Lounge. Also, of course, you can find us on Facebook, and if you happen to be over at the Blog Talk Radio site, you can click on the link there. It makes it really easy to get over to the page and to like us. Also, we are on Twitter. And you can contact us the old-fashioned way, the email way, over at twl11@yahoo.com. And upcoming authors coming up here in 2 weeks would be Joe Rakowski. He wrote a book called The Delivery Cut, and he'll be on to talk to us about his book. So what else do we have here? Oh, of course, I've got to promote the web hosting company here. Not the web hosting company, but the web design company that I am CEO of. It's magicpenwebdesign.com, and it offers an effective and affordable approach to website design development. Magic Pen Web Design promises that your website will be simple in content and easy to navigate, while also delivering an effective, eye-popping design that will attract an interest to the books you write, along with the other products or services that you offer. So hop on over to the Magic Pen Web Design page and click on the format, or click on the, gosh, I'm having a hard time talking tonight, Robin. Click on the, what is it? I can't remember. But get over there anyway and have a look around. And, oh, the free estimate. The free estimate is what we're looking for. And today's callers, we're already lighting up. I know that we do have guests. Callers coming in here, and we also have Lori on the line. We'll be getting right to her shortly, but you can give us a call at 626-213-5613 or toll free at 877-878-1436. And of course, at this time, I always bring on my wonderful co-host, Robin Eduardo, all the way from New Jersey.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm not and or tonight.
You are always and or the best.
All of the above.
You are just fantastic. So what's happening with you?
I'm still sick from last week. I'm still kind of carrying that bug. So sorry if I'm a little raspy still, but I'm hanging in there.
Okay.
And yeah, I know why you're off. flabbergasted and stuff is because you have all these ladies surrounding you tonight, and you're a single guy. So
yeah, I'm the only guy here in the room, and
that's right.
That.
You're surrounded. You have a harem.
I do. That's really cool. So it looks like I have two lines here, and I'm not sure because Lori did send me her phone number that you'd be calling in from, and I have two other lines that are, we'll call them mysterious lines of people here, and I'm going to open up one of them, and I'm pretty sure that one of them would be Lori. So it's sort of a crapshoot here. It's a 50-50 chance, so I feel like I'm at the casino. And
yeah,
like
there you
bring
go.
On, Lori Hedgepeth is now a reviewer on the Writer's Lounge, and she'll be over at the blog site. She's reviewed Mary Ball's book, and get on over there and take a look at her review. And let me see. This is either Lori or Mary. Let's take a shot of this being Lori. Wait a minute. Okay, it's the whole time. 7 minutes. It must be her. Lori, is that you?
Hi, Tom.
How are you doing?
I'm just great. How are you?
So now I've got, as Robin was just referring to, I've got, I'm surrounded by women, and I've got a woman on the East Coast. Actually, I've got Mary and Robin on the East Coast. Robin is in New Jersey, and you happen to be in sunny San Diego. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, not quite so sunny today, but I can represent for the West Coast.
There you go.
Oh,
he's got a woman in every port.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
Hi. Doing good.
Sorry to hear you're under the weather.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at the tail end of it, though, so that's good.
Oh, that is good.
Yeah,
so,
thank you.
So, Lori, let's start off by telling us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and I know you have a website, so go ahead and promote that and tell us how you got into doing the reviews and your writing, of course.
Okay. Well, in my day job, I'm a paralegal, but I have been a lifetime reader as long as I can remember. I don't remember learning to read. I've always been reading, and I've always had a book in my hand. And it just sort of made sense, a natural progression for me to write reviews. I've always given my opinion on books to friends and family and coworkers. And when I found this wonderful community on the internet of book reviewers, I knew I needed to be a part of it. So, and it's been a great thing for me. I've met the most wonderful people online, maybe never met them face to face, but just wonderful people online. I've been able to read so many wonderful books, meet a lot of terrific authors. So it's been a great thing for me, and it's led me to, besides my book review site, it's led me to create a business and a website where I proof and edit manuscripts and different works.
Very good.
I,
I love the name. I know it, but I love the name of your site. What's the name of your site?
Psychotic State Book Reviews.
It's right in.
Very
with
have a lot of that over here.
It's right in with Robin.
It's
here.
Perfect.
Psychotic and psychiatric.
There we go.
Yeah. I don't know.
We
got a bunch of loopy, crazy people here.
You do a good job over there, Lori. It's a very well eye-pleasing site. So everybody get over there and have a look at what Lori's done.
Yeah.
And it isn't brand new here that she's reviewing. She, as she says, she's been reviewing for quite a while now. I would like to also ask you, Lori, what is it about, let's see, I guess we're all in the same business. You also review new authors. So what is it about the new authors that has surprised you in your reviews?
Oh, goodness. I think, honestly, what's so surprising is there are so many really well-written good books out there that oftentimes if you walk into a bookstore, you could miss them. There's so many books out there, and we tend to go towards authors. At least I gravitate towards authors that I've read before, or you gravitate towards the displays in the store. And I think the great thing about writers being able to self-publish now is that it get so many more books published that probably would not have been 10, 15, 20 years ago. And with this whole community now online, you know, with your site and the Writer's Lounge and all these different book review sites, it really gives a good forum for previously unknown authors to get their name out there, get their books out there, and get them read by a much wider public than would have been.
Yeah, I've been doing this since August of last year, and I always have to remark on, as you say, the quality of writing that I found in a lot of these new authors just stunned me and amazes me. There's very few books that I have reviewed, and I'm a lot like you, I think, from what I saw that you review, but I'm a lot like you in the fact that I'm very honest with my reviews, and there's very few reviews that I've ever given a two-star to or a three-star to. Of course, on the Writer's Lounge, we'll never give a review of a two-star. If I were to give a two-star review to somebody, I would send it back to them. I would never post it up. I would send it back to them, ask them to spend a little more time and rework it if they would. I just don't like giving bad reviews on the site.
I don't either.
Yep. But I think being honest is a very good trait in a reviewer. And I know that a lot of people tend to overdo their reviews because they have friends who are authors. Unless you go into it objectively and with some sort of a formula, which I do. I don't know how you rate your books, Lori, that you read, but I have a little bit of a formula that I use in the beginning to start off my reading so I know where they're falling on the scale. And if they don't meet the criteria such as, plot development, character development, and some of the other things that all of us that have been doing reviews and just regular readers look forward to in a book, I don't think it's a good justice to go out there and just stick five-star reviews on people when they don't really deserve them. It doesn't do them any good. They need to be.
It doesn't help you either, I don't think. You lose your credibility a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And I think the readers, it's not fair to the readers. It's not fair to the writers. It's very healthy for us writers to receive a good, fair critique so that we can grow and learn and just strive to do better. It's no fun. Once you're the best that you can be, it's like that could ever happen. But you know what I mean? Like, there's got
to
be some kind of journey that, you have to enjoy the journey. So, And I also agree with the three-star. For me, it's a three-star minimum. Otherwise, I might contact them through email and talk about it in a fair, gentle way, because sometimes writers can be a little, prickly.
Well,
yeah, but,
this is our baby. Everything you write is your baby.
Yeah.
It's very emotional.
So, each case is a case-by-case scenario, so. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think what it also does for us, and I know that Lori has touched on this a little bit in our discussions, but when you pick up a book to read, especially when you're reviewing, you're not always going to like the content of the book. We all have our favorites, and
right.
The genre may
That's
not
a different thing
to our liking, but I really try to get through those books because what I find out and what I've found out in the last year and a half is that many of these books that I didn't think that I would like, including the one by Mary Ball, not that I wouldn't like it, it's just that it doesn't really fit into what I would normally read. But even reading her book, and I'm only 50% through with it, I found myself so attached to it, I couldn't put it down. When that happens, that's a good sign for somebody that normally wouldn't read. But I would say that a lot of readers out there, broaden your scope. Oh, pick up a book that you wouldn't think that you would like to read. For instance, Maggie Shane, who's been on our program, writes vampire novels. And I was a big fan of vampires until I started reading her stuff, and wow, I just can't wait to get the next book in her series. So that's something that I think everybody should keep in mind, not only reviewers but readers too. And Lori, I think we're at the point right now where what we would like to do is get Mary's book introduced here, and what I would like you to do is read the review that you wrote for Mary's book, which is Escape to Big Fork Lake. It was written by Mary Ball and published by Inspired Romance Novels in 2012, and you may purchase it at Amazon.com Kindle, and you can visit the author over at MaryLouWrites at Weebly.com. And go ahead with your review, Lori, if you would.
Oh, certainly. Escape to Big Fork Lake is a little bit country, a little bit mystery, and a lot of small-town romance. In fact, the romance along with small-town life is the best part of this debut work from author Mary L. Ball. Touted as a Christian romance suspense, I don't normally read Christian fiction, although I have made a few exceptions. This book doesn't fit into my normal literary wheelhouse, but I was not disappointed and found it a highly enjoyable, if somewhat predictable, read. For those readers who appreciate the Christian fiction genre, Escape to Big Fork Lake will be a welcoming tale of inspiration, morals, and finding God's love. For readers who don't care to have a strong religious message in their books, the general story, along with the light mystery, should be persuasive enough, although the religious aspect is a major part of the book. I was a bit confused about this book in the beginning. I wasn't sure I could identify with heroine Sam, and I felt a few of her actions were off and plot-driven. The character of Rob seemed a bit cliche, and I thought the story could have moved along nicely without him or the situation involving him, although later on in the story he did have more of a potential focus. I had actually forgotten the story was going to have a suspense angle by the time Sam left the city of Atlanta to head to Big Fork Lake, Alabama. This is when the story really took flight. Once Sam arrived in Big Fork Lake, I liked her. She came to us full of flaws and took a less than smooth voyage of self-discovery throughout the course of the book. She turned out to be much more of a fighter than I figured her for at the beginning of the book, and I was very satisfied with her at the conclusion. The same can be said for Noah. I liked him immediately, and I immediately recognized that he would be Sam's love interest. It was refreshing in this 50 Shades of Grey saturated market to read of a man who truly courts a woman in every old-fashioned sense. Their romance is sweet, leaving the reader with a warm longing for this innocence. Noah was an honest, upstanding man with no apparent issues and baggage, exactly what Sam needed. The character of Beau is a vital one, although we never actually meet him. Only in flashback and when Sam arrives at his former home and business can we piece together something about this man and his character, and it becomes quickly apparent that he is the heart that drives Escape to Big Fork Lake. A selfless and basically simple person, even though he is gone before the story starts, he was a favorite character. The mystery was on the light side, more a cozy type, and I had it figured out before it was officially cracked, but the mystery was really secondary to the romance, and the path was still enjoyable to take. If there was any fault I could find with Escape to Big Fork Lake, it's a relatively minor one. I do wish the facets of small-town life were explored in more detail. Sam moved from a big, bustling city, and I would have liked to have seen her transition as an outsider to a very small town more clearly. I think it would have been fun to have had more town regulars that were featured, as the cast of characters was a relatively small one. I also would have liked to have seen Sam struggle or train to learn the inn and restaurant business, as that appeared to be a bit glossed over, but again, minor issues. Overall, I found Escape to Big Fork Lake a pleasant and gratifying diversion, with an uplifting message and a feel-good conclusion. I wouldn't hesitate to recommend it to readers looking for a clean romance and or light mystery. It's a good, solid debut work from Mary L. Ball, and I look forward to future works by her.
Very good, Lori, and that was an excellent review, and it's so nice to be able to take a break from the reviews, but I did miss it so much that I, once again, had to go in and read the book, start reading the book. And with that, I would like to bring on to the show, onto the Writer's Lounge, Mary Ball, and I believe this would be Mary right here. Mary, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Well, welcome to the show, and as Robin initially said, I'm surrounded by women tonight, so it feels
Aren't
good.
Aren't you lucky?
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi.
So we've got basically three hosts here and one guest, and so we'll try to get through this. But, Mary, as I was saying, I needed to read your book, and once I started, which was earlier today, I just could not put the book down, and I've been reading for the last couple of hours, and I'm probably halfway through it, in a very interesting pivotal point in the novel, and we won't discuss that, but what I would like you to do, could you read an excerpt from your book?
Sure. Let's see. Okay. Sam's eyes popped open. She heaved a rapid breath. A rough, sweaty hand rubbed her head. Hungry fingers clumsily caressed her hair and brushed against her cheek. The air filled with an odd stench and assaulted her nose. Sam's stomach churned. She swallowed back the nausea that stirred from the pungent reek of liquor. With a quick breath, she squelched the panic that bolted through her like lightning and concentrated on the eerie shadow that lurked above her head. The light of the moonbeam shined across the room and created a spotlight on the staggering silhouette. Immediately, she recognized Rob. She jerked her body up in an instant. Quickly, her head hit the couch hard as her body slammed down tight with the cushions. Rob lashed out and grabbed the front of her blouse. The gold-colored shiny circles popped off as the cotton material ripped. Sam clawed his face, managing to pull away, and scrambled to her feet. She forged the strength from somewhere deep within and gave him a quick shove. His body fell backward. Her heart leaped as she raced toward the shimmering glow coming from the nightlight in the hallway. Rob dashed after her like a dog snapping at her heels. As Sam approached her front door, her peripheral vision glimpsed the statue made of metal perched on the shelf above her coat rack. She knew the little figurine wouldn't offer much defense because it was small and hollow, but what other choice did she have? Quickly, she snatched up the horse. She whacked Rob, hitting him hard. Then another time, until he staggered and fell. Sam ran as fast as she could and left Rob lying on the hallway floor. A moan escaped his lips as a trickle of blood oozed from his head. She scurried down the steps as remorse hit her. About all the stupid things she could have done, why had she forgotten to lock her door? Sam dashed down the sidewalk. She was aware, vaguely, of the passing city blocks. The sting of the air in her eyes on her cheeks slowly revealed the brutal chill. The February night embraced her entire body. Her skin tingled. Excuse me. I also am trying to recover from a cold or bronchitis or something. With shivering hands, Sam grabbed the fabric that held tight. She blinked and fought against tears as they trickled down her cheek. This was no time to cry. She needed to stay strong. The streetlights shined on the sidewalk and gave her a clear path in the night. After a few blocks, she slowed down to a jog, finally able to stop running. Sam's heart beat in rapid succession as she leaned against the building and heaved, barely aware of the frosty concrete pressing against her back. Sam concentrated on inhaling slow breaths in and out until her lungs felt normal again. She slid down the rough surface and landed flat on the icy sidewalk. Crouched down, Sam held her ribs as they throbbed. Rubbing her cheeks, she swiped away the moisture that flowed over her face. No, she wouldn't give in to despair. Now she could go back to the police and get help. Maybe with a court order, she could keep Rob away. She could concentrate on getting her life back on the right track.
Very good, Mary.
I enjoyed it. It was very descriptive. I liked it.
Yeah, and what I really liked about it, too, was your description of place, especially when you talked about Big Fork Lake, which I can relate to here in Minnesota. It was a lot of like a lot of the places that you would find around here. So I really appreciated that. And what I'd like to ask is, what inspired you to be a writer?
Well, Mercy, I've just always enjoyed reading, and I think that's the beginning of being a writer.
When did you start writing?
When did I start writing? Well, I started out at a slow progress. First, I started out writing Christian articles for Examiner.com, And, of course, mm-hmm. I've wrote the church newsletter for many years. I just sat down one day and I thought, I'm going to try my hand at fiction. Writing nonfiction and fiction is two totally different things. So I had to basically learn a lot about the writing of the fiction.
Robin, Lori, do you have any question?
I'm just listening to her tell the story, the excerpt that she was reading from her book, and I just wanted to comment on how descriptive it was, the location. I mean, you just felt like you were right there, and it was just, you felt drawn in, and at first the way she was describing, I was like, oh my goodness, it's a bodice ripper, and but yet it's a Christian romance, and I'm just trying to figure this all out. I really love the scene that you read.
Yeah, Robin, you got a little bit of a feedback there. I don't know what they
do. Do I really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Lori, what?
I have my volume's turned all the way down, so I don't know if it's on my end.
Okay, it's better. But Lori, what do you have for Mary?
Well, I agree with what Robin said. I agree with what you said. I think the descriptions were just wonderful. I can picture this town in my mind, even though I've never been there. It was just so vivid, and it made me want to go there. Even though I don't know that I'm a small-town person, just the idea of living in this town where everyone seems to be relatively friendly and know you, and it's a much more simple life versus city life. And I'm originally from Atlanta, so it's very interesting to read about that. And so I definitely agree with the descriptions. And I also think it's interesting when Mary answered, you know, becoming a writer, what inspires you to become a writer. I absolutely agree. I think being a reader is the first step. You have to be a reader and read all kinds of different things. You know, you can't be a writer if you're not a reader, really. So I agree with her there.
Mm-hmm. How much of yourself... Mary, how much of yourself do you write into the characters like Sam, Noah, and or Bo?
Well, actually, what I put into the characters is my spiritual faith. The rest is just make-believe. But my faith shines through in the characters. It's what I feel. It's who I am. It's a part of me. And that's the biggest part of me that comes out in the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I try to steer away.
Yeah, I think that
does things.
Okay.
I
was going to say that I think that's true with most writers, that they inject a little bit of themselves into their writing and into their characters. That's what I meant to say. They draw from their own life and experiences. And so I can definitely appreciate that you have put your faith into your characters, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought because I hear this feedback. I'm sorry.
I'll add to that I think when you do something like that, when an author does that, it makes for a successful book, and it makes it for successful characters because they're real.
It rings true.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does.
I agree.
And then also what I would like to add is that when you're writing Christian fiction, and it looks like I'm getting feedback, and I don't know why this is happening, but I apologize.
We're in the twilight zone.
And I apologize, and hopefully on the replay it'll be better. But what I would like to say is that when you're writing fiction such as this, Mary, sometimes your audience that you're reaching for may be turned off. Not that there isn't a large audience for Christian romance, but a lot of people will be turned off just by the idea that it's Christian romance if you don't happen to be of that religion. But I think it's important, as I stated in the beginning, that everybody take a chance and read something that you don't think that you would particularly care for, because once you get into the story and once you get into the author's mind, if you will, find that you're really being pulled along in a story that everybody can relate to, whether you're a religious person, spiritual person, or whatever. In this case, I didn't think that the, so far from my read, I didn't think that the Christian aspect of it was overdone, as I would also say that a lot of it isn't overdone. It's just talking about two people in a setting and two people that you would find in just any walk of life and come across. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of Christians in this life. So that's my take on that.
Mm-hmm. I write inspirational, though. You see, there's a fine line between Christian and inspirational.
Yeah.
A lot of Christian fiction is just steeped with Christianity and traditions, and a lot of the subjects are taboo. They just won't go there. But with inspiration, it's a little bit of faith, a little bit of spirituality mixed in with everyday life.
And reality.
That we all face regardless of who we are.
Yes.
Yeah, you portray that little bit of that grittiness in life.
Mm-hmm.
And that people can find some sort of redemption through their faith.
Yes.
That they could lead them out of that dirty past. Or when I say dirty, I don't mean like, oh, you know, this horrible dirty past. But you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
everybody has a little something.
I think it's very clearly demonstrated in the book with the character of Sam, because she is not obviously a perfect person. She doesn't have the easiest life in the beginning. She's lost her job, having a hard time finding her way. And she's definitely full of flaws, like we all are. But then you kind of see her progression throughout the book. And when she comes to Big Fork Lake, she's in a place where she feels comfortable for the first time, I think, in her life. She feels happy and fulfilled. She's living somewhere, and she has a job where she feels like this is where she's supposed to be, where she's meant to be.
Mm-hmm. So she blossoms.
And it's definitely inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mary, in the conclusion of Escape to Big Fork Lake, you left the door open to a possible sequel. Any hopes that we can revisit Sam, Noah, and the end?
Well, yes. I've got a second novel that's going to be coming out in spring called The Ring of Faith. But my third novel, my work in progress, is called Redemption in Big Fork Lake. And all I can say about that is that I've had to do a lot of research about alcoholism and Alcoholics Anonymous. So I guess we know who's going to get who's going to be the major character in this one.
Oh, spoiler! She just gave a little bit of a
spoiler.
A reveal.
Yes.
It's okay.
Getting back to the writer in this whole story, which obviously is you, Mary, what one piece of advice do you think is the most important you can give to a struggling writer in writing any sort of fiction, inspirational material, or nonfiction?
Never give up. You got to send out queries, and you got to rewrite until a publisher notices you. Never give up. I have talked with so many in my writers group. There's so many want to be authors. They're writers. They want to be authors, and I will try to encourage them. And it just seems like the first little smack, they're ready to give up. You can't give up. It's a tough world out there.
Yeah.
Got to keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I agree.
Where do you go to write? How do you get yourself in the right frame of mind?
Well, my office, I call it my computer room, and I try to write almost every. I try to write almost every day, but you know, with everything going on in life, it's really hard because I've got grandkids under feet, and I've got in-laws and parents that live kind of close by, and so. So it's really hard sometimes to shut the world out. But the best thing for me I've found, and everybody's got their own unique way of doing it, but for me I have to sit down at the computer, have to pull up the last 4 or 5 pages of what I've wrote, and I immerse myself back into my story. Once that happens, I'm just ready to go again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You pick up where you left off.
I think that that's what a lot of us are doing. I know that Robin and I are both struggling to get a novel done here, and when we find time, I think we could sit down and get back to doing that. But what I also, and I'm hearing my voice again through here, so I don't really know what's going on here, but we'll try it. You've gotten some good reviews on Escape to Big Fork Lake, and Robin and I talked before the show started. How do you deal with good and bad reviews, and how do you let it affect you as a writer and as a person? What keeps you going in that respect?
Well, the good reviews, of course, gives us all inspiration. You know, they give us that warm, fuzzy feeling that we all need, a little pat on the back. The bad reviews, though, they'll make us grow. You know, if we don't take them personally, if we take them through another person's eyes, not take them personally, we can take those bad reviews and we can grow as a writer with them.
I think that hasn't been spoken or talked enough on the show. I think, Robin, you would agree with me that maybe we should do a lot more talking about good and bad reviews and how we should develop ourselves from them, from those good and bad reviews.
Thicken our skins up a little bit, right?
Exactly. You know, and we've all gotten
well, I mean, because we can't. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish your...
I've written a memoir that was over 700 pages, and then you can imagine my distaste when I found out that I had gotten a one-star review.
Yeah.
But I wasn't upset, as some people have pointed out to me, well, you've got to accept that. And I said, well, I would accept a bad review, but not when somebody hasn't taken the time to actually read the whole book. That's my criticism about it. If you read my whole book or the whole book of any author and you give it a bad review, then it's a bad review. It's a one star, and you should just, you know, swallow it and go on from there and try to make it better, or just realize that some people don't like the story.
Right. Well, what I had begun to say before was that as authors, we're not objective enough when we go over our own work. I mean, we think that everything that we write is just the greatest. So you kind of need that kick in the pants from a casual reader who's not personally involved with you to really get a good grasp of what we're not doing right, because you could be a great technical writer, but if the story, the crafting of the scenery and the story development, the arc, all that goes into making a book that just sucks you in. You know, that's something that takes time to learn. It doesn't come natural. I don't think it comes natural.
No, it's learning, definitely. You have to learn to certain aspects of writing. Not everyone mm-hmm. can do it, and it takes mm-hmm. practice. And to be honest, I don't think I've ever come across, and I don't know how many books I've read, I've never come across one that everybody universally likes. Not one.
That's right.
And that's just, you know, everything is subjective. That's reality. If I go online to Amazon or something like that and I see a book that has nothing but 5-star reviews, I'm immediately suspicious.
Yeah, that's natural.
I don't need for everyone to love a book. There's just certain mm-hmm, books mm-hmm. some people aren't going to like. They could be extremely well written. It's just not their cup of tea, and that's okay. And I think mm-hmm. Harry has a great attitude about it, looking at it as a learning experience, because I've heard from other book reviewers that some authors don't have that mindset, and they take it very personally. They get very angry if they don't like their book.
Mm-hmm.
And, I understand when you write something, it's very dear to you, and it's a part of you, and you want for everyone to enjoy it and love it as much as you do. But as Tom said, it's nothing personal. It's not a personal thing at all. And, you know, if you've read the whole thing and that's your opinion, that's your opinion. It's not the end of the mm-hmm. world for anyone. But you
Mary,
should at least do the author the justice of reading the whole book.
Yeah.
Mary,
before you your opinion.
Mary, getting to the publishing process, which is separate from, you know, the reviewing and the writing, but the actual publishing and how to decide whether you're going to go self-publish or whether you're going to go with the traditional publishing. Any advice that you would like to share in that regard?
Well, I'm not going to down self-publishing. There's a lot of good to self-publishing.
Yes, there is.
Yes, there is, and there's a lot of great authors who have self-published. But on the other side of the coin, there's also some stigma to self-publishing. We're slowly beginning to get out of that. It's not as bad as it used to be, but there's still a little bit there. So for me, I had to go the traditional route. I felt like to be accepted as an author, I needed to be published traditionally. So, and of course, with self-publishing now, I'm not going to say it's easier because there's a lot of hard work in going into all that, but you don't have to worry about query letters. You don't have to worry about synopsis. And a lot of authors just cringe at that word, synopsis. I know I do. So it's easier, really, in that aspect to just self-publish, and you don't have to worry about all that. But traditional publishing, that was the way that I felt was right for me, and it was a long road. I think I did 4 rewrites that came about because publishers did offer advice and say, you know, well, thanks, but no thanks because this is what I found wrong, you know. And so 4 rewrites, and a year and a half later, it's what it took me before I finally got the attention of Inspired Romance Novels, which now is Prism Book Group.
So. Oh. Yes, I would agree with that. Robin?
Yeah, no, definitely. That's the thing, is the same as the reviews that you get from regular consumers. They're giving you a critique that you can learn from, the same as when you're going through traditional submissions. And those editors, sometimes they will, even though they give you a rejection, it's not always a form rejection. There'll be little note that'll describe how you could improve it. So maybe you go through 3 or 4, 5 different rejections, and you work on it and work on it and work on it, and then next thing you know, maybe you do get picked up from a traditional publisher.
Well,
so,
I probably sent out about 60.
Yeah,
Of course you have your majority that's not even going to bother to give you an answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But out of those ones that did bother to give me an answer, there were probably a handful that actually gave me advice. I see your potential, but, you know. And I took those little buts, and I rewrote and just started sending out again. And that's all you can do.
Revision.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think that would be the downside to self-publishing. You don't have the benefit of, somebody sending you back some suggestions. And the fact that you have to self-market.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, you know, if you self-publish, get your book yourself, that's a big part of it.
Well, even a lot of the smaller press publishers, you have to do a lot of the self-promo on your own. You're kind of responsible for it.
Oh, yeah.
So, but it is, it's a lot more work, I think, to self-publishing if you approach it with the right mindset.
Mm-hmm. Oh, true. True.
Yeah.
On that note, Tom, I need to step out.
Okay. Thank you, Lori. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, and we'll have you on again,
thank
of course.
So much.
Yeah. Thanks, Lori.
It was nice to meet you, Mary.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'll definitely check out your website.
Oh, thank you so much.
Bye, Lori.
Bye, bye.
Bye, bye.
Okay, hopefully I pushed the right button. You're both still there, right?
Yeah,
I'm here.
Okay. And once again, everybody, we've got about 15 minutes left here. If you'd like to call in to the Writer's Lounge, you can do it at 626-213-5613 or toll-free at 877 877- 878-1436. If you have a question or comment for Mary or Robin or I, then please give us a call here at the Writer's Lounge. And Mary, what's up next for you? I know you mentioned a few things and a few books that you're working on. What's the next book that's coming out?
I dubbed it The Ring of Fate. But, of course, the final title's going to be up to the publisher. And so, but I'm going to say The Ring of Fate. And hopefully it'll be out in spring.
Okay. And can you tell us a little bit about the book? And
read a little blurb about it.
Sure. I'd love to have you do that.
Okay. The Hamiltons have been blessed over the centuries because of a tiny gold band, a mysterious object that transforms lives, sometimes forever. Taylor Hamilton has given up on everything but her work. After becoming the youngest CEO of Mugful's Beverage Company, she believes life is complete. That is until her grandmother asked her to oversee renovations at the family home, in addition to searching for a missing heirloom. First contact with what she believes is an insignificant ring lost for 50 years sends her spinning. Taylor experiences strange dreams, feelings surface that she doesn't understand. Mere thoughts that should remain unspoken are voiced. Taylor's emotional journey begins, testing a heart as cold as the ring itself, forcing her to question everything she believes. Is this a fairy tale, or her soul reaching out for a different world, a life she could only find through faith and a divine trust in God?
Very good. And when do you expect that to be out? When do you expect that to be published?
I would love to be able to answer that question. We haven't started the edit yet, and I'm assuming that we're going to do that after the holidays. So that's why I just labeled spring to it, because I'm assuming it's going to be sometime in spring.
Sure.
But I tend to write about, if you'll notice, I tend to write about subjects that other Christian authors wouldn't necessarily delve into. That's because I want to show that it doesn't matter who you are, life touches you. You have to go through things.
And to touch on that a little bit from what we talked about earlier, there is a book series I'm sure both of you are familiar with called the Left Behind series came out several years ago. But even though I love that series and loved reading it, I found it a bit unrealistic in that, and not that your book, Mary, has used profanity, because I don't believe it does. I'm only halfway through, but there was a sense of reality there, especially with the sexual tension between your two main characters. But I find that when I read something, I want to read what it would really be like. In other words, if you're going to write Christian fiction, or you're going to write anything that has anything to do with Christian, I know that you don't want to just populate it with a lot of profanity, and no one should ever do that with that type of work, but there should be a flavor of the book that hits on reality, and I think your book does that, and that's why, and I think it's important for a message, if you're trying to bring people to Christ, I think that's important, and you do a good job of doing that.
Thank you. You know, that's so funny. I got an email right about 5 months after my book came out. I got an email from someone who I had submitted it to for a review, and she said, to be quite frankly with you, Mary, I had to stop reading your book. First of all, I don't believe this is a Christian fiction, because she made some comment about the Sam and Noah in the book shouldn't be acting the way they were acting toward one another if it was Christian fiction. Now, I just politely sent her an email back and said, you know, well, thank you very much for your candid approach, but I write inspirational, which touches on normal life for everyone, and left it at that. But I thought to myself, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. You're going to be attracted to the opposite sex.
Of course.
True. I mean.
Absolutely.
You know,
we're all human.
Yeah.
And I also believe that if Christ were here with us today, that he would be walking among people that would be, shall we say, a little bit.
The lowest of the low. Yeah.
So,
well, actually, that's who he spent his time with, wasn't it? Other than
sure.
Right.
So
right.
If someone were to tell his story after he came back, I would imagine if they were going to be honest, they would include a story that brought in all of these, well, sorry to say it, but slimy characters. Not that your two characters are. I love your two characters. You did a great job with them, but I think we could bring a lot more people to, you know, not so much Christianity, if you want to call it that, I guess, more of a spiritual belief or belief in God, if people were to be more open to books such as yours that, once again, does touch on the reality of things. But getting back to your writing, well, not getting back to your writing, what do you do for fun when you're not writing?
Well, before I tell you that, I do want to say this. You know, as a woman of faith, there are certain things that you'll never find in my books. You'll
sure.
never find cussing, you know. And you'll never find a situation where the couple is going to be under the sheets, you know. But that's just because it's a conviction in me. But you are going to find situations that's going to let you know how they feel and what they might mm-hmm. like to do, you know.
Right.
You're not writing to titillate the audience, the reader. You're trying to let them connect with the romantic feelings that they have for each other.
Yeah.
Not
it's basically,
you know, tap into that primal thing.
Well, what's,
yeah.
what's interesting is that you paint a picture of, as we say, as Mary very well said, is that she's not going to put the characters under the sheets, but you can anticipate what may happen if those two people got together. So the quality of writing that you do in your book, in even so more so than I found in the Left Behind series. So that's a big plug for you, I think, if I can tell
yeah,
you
yeah,
it's
yeah,
better
yeah,
than
yeah.
that series in that respect. Not that that series was bad, but I think you did a good job with bringing reality once again to it.
Thank you. Well, I figure we all, when we read, we all tend to read a paragraph and interject our own imagination to it. You know, mm-hmm. so that's part of what it's all about. Now, mm-hmm. getting to what I do for fun. Well, I enjoy singing gospel music with my husband, and I like to fish.
Oh, cool. You'd like yeah. Minnesota then.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I'd like the weather. My husband kicks on me and tells me I only fish when it's 100 degrees outside. That's not true.
Well,
but, you know.
Like that here in the summertime, it'll get up in the 90s, but I'll be going ice fishing here in another month or so as soon as the ice forms, and I really love doing that.
He's always talking about the ice fishing.
Yeah.
Actually, we were watching that on TV earlier, and they were catching these really mm-hmm. little bitty fish, and I was thinking, why on earth would it be out there in 25-degree weather and catching these fish so bigger than your hand? I couldn't do that.
for the sport of it.
Mary, and I always ask our authors this question, and it comes up quite a bit because I find it very interesting. But if you could sit down and talk with a famous person or writer, who would it be and what would be the first question you would ask them? And the way I set it up is usually you're walking down a hallway and there's a door. When you open up that door and walk into a room, in the middle of the room there's a table. And just seated at that table is a person. Who would that person be?
Nicholas Sparks.
Okay.
Hmm.
He's an inspirational speaker, right?
He is, yeah.
Where did I hear him? He was on the show here with another author. Not that he was on, but another author that we had on the show talked about him and actually met him. I think it was Robin. I think you could try to help me out here.
I don't remember who.
Lady that had cancer and she beat cancer met him.
Oh.
I can't think of her name, but I don't know.
That was
And I can't think of her
name. That was about six months ago or so.
Bonnie Hartle.
Yeah. Yep.
That was her name, and she met him. I believe that's who she met. But, yes.
Yeah, I think that's what she said,
So what would you say to him, Mary?
Well, I think I would ask him how he refuels his positive creativity after he writes such heart-wrenching, emotionally draining books. I mean, because personally, I know that when you're into a book like my work in progress right now, Redemption in Big Fork Lake, it's been emotionally draining for me. And I wonder, because he's put out so many emotionally draining books, so many subjects that touch everybody's lives, and a lot of them are sad. And I've often wondered how he keeps his positive juices flowing when he writes about situations like that.
Sure. And so anyway, that brings us to the end of the program. And could you give everybody out there a site address or where they could find you on the web?
Well, sure. It's http://marylouwrites.weebly.com.
Very good.
And on Twitter, I'm just Inspires for Mary.
Very good. And I think what we'd like to do right now, since we have you on, Mary, we know that in the last couple of days, this country has gone through a very emotional upheaval over what happened in Connecticut. And I would ask that we pray for everybody. We don't have to do it on the program, but I would ask all of our listeners to pray for everybody in that community. It is very heart-wrenching and heartbreaking for everybody in that community and across the United States that are dealing with that horrible, horrible thing that happened to those kids. And I would like to wish everybody out there on the Writer's Lounge who is listening to the Writer's Lounge, to Mary and Robin and everybody else, a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And let's keep our kids foremost in our thoughts this holiday season, especially on Christmas morning. I think it's important to do that.
That's right. Let's give them an extra hug.
Yes. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it immensely.
Best of luck. I hope our technical difficulties don't go over into the playback, but there's nothing that I could do about that. I don't have a technician here, but hopefully that'll turn out okay.
It happens.
It happens.
Take care, Mary.
No, thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Y'all have a blessed Christmas.
Bye-bye. You too.
Bye-bye. Okay, Robin, we have next time around, as I said at the top of the show, we have on January, let me see if I got my dates here right, January 7th, we will have on Joel Rakowski, and he wrote the book called Delivery Cut. It's about drug dealing down in Miami, Florida. So that should be a very interesting book to talk about when we have him on. And we are at the end of our program. And again, Robin, what are we saying?
Good reading. Good reading and good writing. Have a good night from the Writer's Lounge.
And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
It's dark as night in the middle of the day. Your faith and your fences have been blown away. You're down in the cellar and you've locked yourself in. But it looks like it's rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. One beautiful morn, he said, Noah, get ready, for the sky will be torn. Build as I tell you, save what you can. Then wait while the rainbow weather begins. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. Trouble will come, but trouble will go. You're living in fear, but what do you know? You know that the sun's always coming then. You know there'll be rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out. And it looks like it's rainbow weather. Yeah, it looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart and the sun peeking.